The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face. Stars to fill my dream. I'm a traveler of both time and space. To be where I have been. Sit with elders of the gentle race. This world seldom seen. Talk of days for which they sit and wait.
Well, welcome everybody. Good morning on this hopefully beautiful Saturday day. I know it's going to be. This is Tetzloff Yacht Sales and Wolf Marine boating with those two groups. My name is John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, 575 Main Street North. I'm on the north end of downtown Stillwater, not too far from Wolf Marine. And you can contact us anytime at 651-214-9463. Check out our website at TetzloffYachtSales.com or go to our Facebook page, Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Eric is on my starboard side.
And I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner operator of Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. I can be reached at area code 651-439-2341. You can catch us on the web, wolfmarine.net, or send us an email, info@wolfmarine.net. And today I'd like to introduce a very special guest, Deb Ryan. She is the executive director of the St. Croix River Association. Thanks for showing up and welcome on to our show.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.
Can you tell us a little bit about the St. Croix River Association?
Sure. We're an organization, nonprofit organization, that has been around since 1911. So we're one of the oldest conservation organizations in the state of Minnesota. We serve both Minnesota and Wisconsin throughout the entire St. Croix River watershed.
Okay. And what exactly do you do there?
We advocate on behalf of the St. Croix River. So we have four basic programs that we work with: water quality, land protection, invasive species, and education and outreach.
Okay, so that's kind of the goals of the St. Croix River Association would be just what you had mentioned. Is it just the St. Croix River that you focus on?
No, we do the whole watershed. So it goes all the way up to Moose Lake, Minnesota, Cable, Wisconsin, down to Prescott Hastings.
How many square miles?
8,000 square
miles.
That's
a large area.
It's a lot of shoreline.
Yep.
Okay. What are some of the typical programs that they do to help the water quality of the St. Croix?
We have two overarching goals. One is to protect and restore the land and water. Mm-hmm. The other is to connect more people to the riverway. And I think we'll talk just a little bit about the connection piece first, if you don't mind.
No.
It's the most fun thing that we get to do.
Okay.
And that's really getting out and helping people to spend time on the river and learn about it. It can be about the plants and animals that live there. It can be about fish. It can be about recreation. Any number of ways to get people out on the river, because fundamentally we understand that people protect what they love. So getting them out there and enjoying the resources are first and foremost goal.
Yeah, and everybody, once they're out on the St. Croix, it's hard not to fall in love with it.
You bet. I moved here from Iowa, and I tell you, after living in a state for 30 years with brown water, moving here was an absolute joy.
Yeah, I notice in Iowa when I go in there, they have these little ponds, it looks like, and they have a dock and all kinds of things. They turn it into a little lake because I think they're kind of hurting for water down there.
Yep, it's true. It's true.
Okay, so anyway, you're one of many programs on the river that people probably aren't aware of. I mean, a lot of folks that I deal with, they hop in their boat and they go out and have a good time, but like your organization, it just shows that there's many of them out there that make all of this possible, and it's really great that you guys are out there.
Thank you. We like working with an awful lot of different people.
Sure. And I you know what, I'm just going to ask a big question right here. What is the water quality? I know it's different on the upper St. Croix versus, you know, under Taylor's Falls. What are the water quality of both levels?
Generally speaking, the water quality is still fairly good. In 2008, it was listed, the Croy was listed as one of the most endangered rivers in the United States, but it was mostly because the quality of the river was declining. And so there was a large effort put forth to protect the water quality. So we're different than the Minnesota and the Mississippi River in that they are really trying to bring a river back. We're trying to keep it from degrading.
Okay, when you say it was declining, what were the causes of the water quality that were, you know, getting worse as time was going by here?
Our biggest pollutant in the river is phosphorus.
Okay.
And it comes from two major forms, rural and urban runoff. So
okay.
It's from farm fields and it's from city streets. Or all those developments, all those houses and driveways that that run off into the river and the lakes and streams that feed the river.
What are some of the things that you're doing to help create or maybe clean up the river from this phosphorus?
We work with a lot of different organizations and agencies and local citizens to install rain gardens and retrofitting here in Stillwater. We've worked with Washington County Soil and Water District to retrofit storm sewers, so it's not the runoff doesn't run off directly into the lake. Instead, it goes through rain gardens or retention ponds or other things that clean the water first. And then in the farm fields, we encourage strong, really smart conservation practices.
Okay.
Wow, great. That's good information. What has the water quality done since 2008?
Right now, it's been seems like we're getting better. The floods can skew what's happening out there. We tend to have had some real unusual flushes the last couple of years, where you get those huge rain events, and then all of a sudden you get a lot of scum and algae showing up down here, especially Stillwater, Bayport. A little further south, you're going to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, we like to say that with the high water, it actually washes the islands out. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
It really is not in the long run, because
we
want to keep the islands in place, and, you know, for us to enjoy as beaches and for the animals to run around on, meaning our kids mostly.
Yeah, for sure. And that is another point, too, that when folks are out using the islands and the beaches, that they make sure that they pick up their garbage and everything else and take it with them. Don't leave it on there for somebody else to take or for it to get washed into the river.
Yep, and the other thing that people, when they're out on the water, to really think about is where they're going to the bathroom.
Sure.
I use those portable toilets that are out there. Human waste is a huge input of phosphorus.
Yes.
So poop and peeing in the river is not good.
That's not a good secret. And most of the boats I sell have their self-contained waste system.
And so. even most of the pontoon boats, which has become a large part of our boating industry here, most of the pontoon boats now have porta-potties. And if you are at a quality marina, you will have a porta-potty dump station. Wolf Marine has such one.
How strange.
believe it or not. So, we encourage people to use the porta-potties, come back, dump it in the porta-potty clean-out station. It's a great deal. It helps keep our rivers clean, and we can enjoy them a lot better when we have a clean river.
Yep.
So who are some of the groups that you're working with as far as the water quality or whatever else you guys do on the river?
We work with local soil and water districts heavily. We have some we leverage some state and federal dollars and have brought about $2.5 million worth of water quality practices to the Riverway, and those all pretty much go to local watershed districts, city of Stillwater, Bayport, a lot of the local implementers. We just work really closely with them. And then everything from church groups to the Pollinator Friendly Alliance, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, we work with just about anybody. We have over 150 partners that we work with throughout the watershed.
How many employees are involved in the St. Croix River Association?
Well, in 2009, there was me.
Wow. Yes.
And this year, we are just in the process of hiring our 10th a permanent employee, and during the summer we swell. We get up to 12 interns that work with us throughout the watershed. So this summer, watch out for at those boat launches that are out there. Angelique and her interns will be out doing boat checks to make sure people are clean, draining, and drying those boats.
Yep.
And they're there just for informational purposes. They're not there to cite anyone. We don't do law enforcement of any sort, so it's all voluntary compliance, and it's really about just helping people to understand that what they do affects the river.
Yeah.
Don't dump live bait, those yeah. sorts of things.
Education is key when it comes to that. When it comes to leveraging fines, that just puts a sour taste in everybody's mouth and makes it not that much fun for everyone. So if you know about it and do something about it, you're a step ahead of everything there. It makes everything that much better.
And if anybody wants to get involved, they want to maybe apply for a position or they want to volunteer, websites, telephone numbers?
Yep. Our website is St. Croix River Association.org. And the phone number is area code 715-483-3300. Call us. We do put on our website the jobs that we have available. We have two openings right now, so
What are those?
I'm looking for the job that I want, which is the on Namekagon River. We're looking for somebody to be a river ambassador, so they'll be out on the Namekagon all summer long.
Wow. So what does a river ambassador do?
Really, what they'll do is education and outreach again, but they'll spend a couple of days actually floating the Namekagon, saying hi to people, telling them that they're in a national park.
That sounds like a rough job. I'm sure there's a college kid out there that would just hate to do that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of background they need? Is there a degree that they would benefit them?
You know, we have had everyone from art degrees through writing degrees and, of course, environmental studies. So we take kids of all ilk that are just really interested in serving a national park.
Great, great. The Namekagon, how many tributaries are running into the St. Croix, do you know?
We have about 24 major tributaries.
And are they more above the dam or below, or is it evenly distributed?
We have a lot smaller tributaries in the bottom part of the watershed, the lower riverway, and the northern part. They're bigger rivers. You've got the Kettle, the Snake on the Minnesota side, and on Wisconsin side you've got the Apple, of course, and the Namekagon and a couple other larger tributaries.
And are any of those endangered, or are they contributing more to the pollution?
Yeah, there are three major contributors, the Apple, the Willow on the Wisconsin side, and then on the Minnesota side, the Sunrise is one of the major contributors.
So what you're saying is those Wisconsin folks are polluting the river a little bit more. No, I'm just joking. Just joking.
Yeah. It's all the beer.
He better be, because he's sitting next to one.
Yeah, and they've got the Packers over there, too, so yeah. What the heck. Anyway, what do you think, Eric? Did you have another? I think you looked like you had another question.
I guess your funding. Where does your funding come from?
We have a variety of funding sources. We have grants, individual donors. We are a membership-based organization, so we love you donors.
Okay.
So. Super. Well, we really appreciate you coming in, and maybe down the road we can have you in for another show, get an update on the water quality or anything else that might pop up. Definitely give Eric or I a call, and we'll definitely get you in again.
All righty. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Everything might be frozen right now, but if you are already thinking of getting out on the water in your new boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you're looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else. And with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, the Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will help you find the best boat for you, and because my name is the name on the sign, I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com.
When I found out I was pregnant, I panicked. I was afraid, feeling pressured. I didn't know what else to do.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know there were other options.
I didn't know the baby already had a beating heart.
I didn't know there were couples waiting to adopt. I called a confidential hotline and learned the facts. I found an option that both my baby and I can live with.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. By being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Welcome back to the second half of our show, Boating with Tetzloff Yacht Sales and Wolf Marine. I'm Eric Wolf. I am the owner, co-owner of Wolf Marine. And again, we're located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater. And off to my port side here would be John.
And if you're not sure what port means, it's not wine. It would be the left side. And here I am, John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, tetzloffyachtsales.com. We are on the north end of downtown Stillwater. You can't miss us. We've got a little office right in front of the West Marine store there. Oh, just gave a plug there that they didn't pay for, but oh, what the heck. Anyway, here we are in our second half. Welcome back.
Yeah, and today we have a very special guest, Ed Lethert. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Perfect. Ed is an electrical shock drowning safety specialist. He's a member of the ESD Prevention Association. I guess we better start off, explain to the people what ESD actually is.
Well, ESD is a situation where people are in the water in the vicinity of electrical wiring or equipment, and if something malfunctions, and we won't get into the technical details, but let's say that something isn't working the way it should, currents can flow in the water. Those currents, if they're strong enough, can paralyze an individual. They cramp up, they sink into the water, and because they're still breathing, they ingest that water and they drown.
Oh, it's a horrible thing. Has there been many incidents in this area of electrical shock drowning?
About four or five in Minnesota over the past decade or so.
And is this a growing problem?
Some people would say yes. The current situation is it just keeps happening, not at an increased rate, but it happens. And we believe it's an entirely preventable situation if people who use water for recreational purposes follow a few simple rules, and the people who provide those services, such as marinas and people who build and maintain boats, maintain them in good electrical working order.
You had mentioned some simple rules. What would be an example of some of the rules?
Well, the simplest rule is if there's electrical equipment or wiring in the area, stay out of the water. For example, something we see all too often is a boat tied up in the marina. It has a nice big swift platform on the back. The boat is plugged into shore power. That's that yellow cord that you see going to the post on the dock. And the kids are swimming off the swim platform behind the boat.
This isn't just limited to marinas now.
No.
It's possible to happen at private docks also?
It can happen just as easily at a private dock, although you don't see shore power generally as much as a private dock. But you do see things like boat lifts and electric lights, people plugging in battery chargers and the like. So, yes, it certainly can happen there too.
What about, say there's a beach and there's a whole bunch of boats, you know, pulled up there, and either they have their generators running or maybe there's power supplied to the beach where the boats are plugged in?
The same problem exists there. Again, we have water, we have electrical equipment and wiring, and we have people entering the water. So the boats pull up, they all plug in, and the potential exists if there's a malfunction in the wiring system on the shore or in the one or more boats itself, and that water becomes charged, and the people swimming in the water around those boats become potential victims of ESD.
Okay, now they're plugged in, but what about if the generator's running?
Well, if the generator is running and there's no metal connection between the boats, probably much less of a concern, although there's a new concern in that case, and that's carbon monoxide, which I guess you're going to talk about in another show.
We've covered that a couple times. Yeah, that's a major one also.
Yeah, and I think the major thing right now is the lack of awareness. We want to put the put it out there that, hey, this is possible to happen. That's why at the marinas, and now I think it's going to be mandated that we have signs at the marinas that that state there is no swimming allowed in the marinas.
Yeah, actually, the National Electrical Code, which is the guide by which all wiring has to be done in Minnesota by law, says that any new installation that is begun after July 1 of this year will have to post warning signs at all approaches to the marina telling people that there is the danger of a shock hazard. We've added no swimming to it because people need to understand that it's quite okay to be on the docks, but it's not okay to be in the water.
Okay, you know, how far away from this electrical, you know, whatever you might have plugged in, would it be safe?
Well,
how far away do you have to be before you are safe to, let's say, swim?
Yeah, there's that magic word. People want to know, is there some place where I'll be safe? The answer is no, because conditions can change anywhere, anytime. What we do tell people, first of all, probably the most dangerous place is within 10 to 20 feet of that equipment or wiring. As you move farther away, the risk of injury decreases. The Electric Shock Drowning Prevention Association recommends maintaining a distance of at least 150 feet from anything electrical. Okay, some people think that's an awful lot, but we actually have a recorded incident where people felt a shock as much as 300 feet away from an electrical problem in the water.
Now, when you have electrical problems, you could have it either on the dock or on a boat. Is there one that might be more prevalent than the other?
A survey that was done several years ago seemed to suggest that problems with wiring was divided roughly half and half between boats and docks. Minnesota has a very good track record for making sure electrical work is done properly, so I'm going to guess that it's much higher on boats than it is on docks in Minnesota.
So what would you call this electricity that might be escaping? Is that stray electricity?
Well, some people call it stray voltage. Some people call it stray current. Some people call it leaking currents. There's a lot of names to call it. The problem is I don't know that anyone has actually come up with a specific term that applies strictly to what we're talking about.
Now, is there anywhere that the public can go to maybe go to a class, get some education on this, a website, any kind of seminars?
No. No, I'm probably the best resource right now is, first and foremost, the Electric Shock Drowning website. That can be found at www.electricshockdrowning.org.
And I have to say that Ed has volunteered his time to come down to the marinas and help the marinas maybe check to see to make sure that there shouldn't be any major problems. Now, this is kind of an unofficial visit because we don't want to put any responsibility on Ed by any means, but it's a very nice thing for him to do. We are going to have Ed come down to our place this summer and check it out, and hopefully we find no problems. You've done a few marinas already.
I have, and I can say that I've found very few things that required immediate attention. I've seen a lot of things that weren't right, but that involves more marinas policing their boats, their customers' boats, to make sure. For example, on a houseboat, I saw a plain old-fashioned power strip being used on the deck. Those are not intended to be used around water and certainly not outdoors.
Not at all.
What about lower voltage, like 12 volt? Is that pose a problem?
No. Most boats use 12 volts direct current as their primary electrical source. That will not cause them any injury of the type we're talking about. Now, it can be the cause of a fire or burns, but that's something totally different than what we're talking about here. As far as being in the water, no.
Now, after the show's over, we're definitely going to put this information on our website for folks to check out and get this information that Ed has provided also.
Yeah, and also, you know, there's many things that the marina operators can do. And I know you would, like I said, you volunteered your time here to come down and help us out with maybe any problems we might have. But what are some things that a boater could possibly do to, you know, prevent it or, you know, check to make sure his boat is somewhat compliant?
Well, most boaters probably are not qualified to work on their own electrical systems, especially the AC systems. That's the boats that plug into shore power at the dock. What they really need to do is to have a qualified marine technician check out their boat and make sure that all of the wiring is correct, that all of the receptacles are the correct polarity, that nothing is connected to something that it shouldn't be connected to, and that everything that should be connected to something is so.
Now, you talk about contractors, and you don't have to name them now, and we can get them later, but are there some folks that you have worked with that seem to be up on this?
I know a lot of the marinas that have service facilities have qualified people working for them. Very few ABYC certified technicians in Minnesota. I think the last time I checked, there were three names in Minnesota, only two of them actively engaged in doing that work at that time. That doesn't mean that other people aren't capable of doing it. The thing I like about the ABYC certification is it more or less verifies that the people have been through the proper training and they know what to look for.
And it pertains specifically to boats.
Yes.
You know, there might be a little bit different things that you have to know about between house wiring and boat wiring.
Absolutely. And that's one of the problems we have with people that like to do their own wiring. They think in terms of house wiring when they're working on their boats. They buy stuff from a supply store that doesn't belong on boats. And the next thing you know, because it's not suitable for that environment, something goes wrong, and then there's an injury or worse.
Exactly, and that's really big when you're purchasing a boat is to hire a surveyor that knows exactly what to look for so they can see these weekend electricians or maybe somebody that's just, you know, watch somebody do some wiring, and they're going to get in there and they're going to see that right away, and the survey is going to reflect that, so those can be addressed in the buying process.
Now, I've been to a couple of different get-togethers, I guess we could call them, with other marina operators where you've spoke, and something that really took me by surprise that, and you can touch on that, is fresh water or salt water more dangerous or conductive to electricity?
Well, salt water is probably, on average, 400 times more conductive than fresh water, maybe even more than that. And so the ESD phenomenon or danger exists primarily in fresh water. It's possible to be electrocuted in salt water, but it's very unlikely. And in fact, we know no knowledge of any ESD-related deaths where people were cramped up and drowned.
And for some reason, that just surprised me quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey, you know what? This is fantastic information. We're really great, happy that Ed came in to talk about this. But we have to wrap it up, and we'd like to have him come back maybe down the road. Again, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, TetzloffYachtSales.com, 651-214-9463.
Wolf Marine, 651-439-2341. You can check us out on the web. Wolfmarine.net. And again, thanks, Ed. I mean, it's been super informative, and it's something that our boaters need to know about.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.